to begin to defend the cause of the fatherless. What do we do?
Another level about to happen.
Not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
I mean, people are being evacuated for attics in areas never flooded before.
Or how could that happen in Boston? How could this happen?
We have to watch what the right hand's doing when they're probably we're trying to be distracted by the left hand. There's one thing our president said. He said that the Middle East needs to be organized.
And I consider it part of my responsibility as president of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear.
I can promise you one more thing. Even if Israel has to stand alone, Israel will stand.
Nearly 450,000 Islamic terrorists cross into the United States of America.
We already know the news. We're trying to change it. The news is if we don't repent, this storm is coming and it's going to bring great devastation. We are going to suffer hugely if we don't turn.
We're being organized according to the Alinsky tactics that were taught by our president for 4 years and practiced in his life, but he taught them for 4 years.
Now, Dr. King was saying from the platform of being a Christian, you know, who I believe would be an apostle.
I have a dream. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal.
And I'd like to repent on behalf of the law enforcement.
We receive your repentance in the name of Jesus.
That we can turn back to God. We can say, Lord, here we are. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, it only takes seconds for things to happen that could take decades and generations to get over.
It's going
to
be a day like no other day. But when all is said and done, God will reclaim Israel and God will pour out his grace and his mercy even upon the United States of America.
God is about to give us mega grace, and the mega grace will produce mega power.
And God spoke to me. He said, not just United States. Again, there's going to be another greater movement of God's Spirit.
I mean, I believe the best days, you know, for the church is ahead.
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world. It's time for us to quit this escapism mentality, and it's time for us to read the word and understand we need to build for 1,000 years.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me just a moment is John Ramos. We're going to get right to it today. You think about what's taking place today. I mean, you look at China, by the way. I don't know if you know about it, but they're actually building islands on reefs in international waters, reportedly. And on those islands, they're putting military force and air power, like airstrips and those type of things. And we have, you know, President Obama continues to empty the Guantanamo Bay, Cuba terrorist imprisonment there across the nation. According to former Ambassador John Bolton, he says that eventually he believes that all the terrorists will be released from Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, which is a base for America about 90 miles off of our coast of Florida, and they will turn that base over to Cuba. Prophetically, how God laid on my heart early on, several can confirm it, that this was the whole plan all along, was to befriend Cuba so Cuba would take over that particular Guantanamo Bay, and we're seeing that take place. We're also seeing the U.S. economy now in a decline, you know, a continual decline with, what, 0.07? In regards to growth, they're saying one more quarter possibly could end in recession or depression. President Obama and his cabinet has systematically created a distrust for law enforcement across the United States, and other people have been participating on it. And now our officers, you know, are feeling uncomfortable, rightfully so. They're feeling like, you know, that people don't stand with them. You look at Baltimore, where the mayor and the state attorney, you know, has put themselves apparently in opposition to the very law enforcement that they're over and that they're part of. And you know, tragedy took place in Baltimore, but the officers now, and you're looking at just you know, over 40-plus deaths reportedly, you know, that has happened since that moment, since, you know, Freddie Gray, but it's like nobody's even mentioning those things take place. I mean, there's so many things are happening right now in America. It just makes you wonder what's going on. When you look at all these things together, when you look at everything together, it makes you wonder, you know, what's happening? Then you look at this. Then you look at, you know, starting in June, as you can see right here, I think it's like 685, that a program called Jade Helm 15 is starting in America, right across those southern borders, you know, where we've been talking prophetically what's going to be happening coming from the south. As a matter of fact, take a look right now.
The U.S. military is planning an unprecedented training exercise this summer called Operation Jade Helm 15 across seven states. And with polls showing trust in the government near record lows, that exercise has some Americans feeling uneasy. Jennifer Wishon brings us that story.
Have you heard of this military Special Operations Command exercise called Jade Helm?
Speculation about why the military wants to train in American communities instead of military bases is fueling a growing number of theories across the internet and social media.
The government will take action when it thinks its authority is threatened.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott has even asked his National Guard to monitor it. So what is Jade Helm 15? It's realistic military training taking place simultaneously in seven states, from Southern California to Texas. Over 8 weeks, the nation's elite special forces will practice unconventional warfare by operating outside their normal support systems, adapting to new terrain, and working with civilians to gain their trust. When news of the operation broke, the phones inside Texas Congressman Louis Gohmert's office lit up.
At first, people were not sure what to think. Do we have to worry about martial law? Is our federal government coming in and going to practice imposing martial law on Texas?
A former Army captain, Gohmert says he understands the need for training, yet it bothers him that as part of the exercise, the military is labeling Texas, Utah, and Southern California as hostile.
This is actually taking areas of our home country, the United States, and saying, Texas is hostile, Utah is hostile, Southern California is hostile, and we got to take it back from the hostiles. I find that incredibly offensive.
And he thinks it's no coincidence that the Jade Helm 15 map looks an awful lot like the 2012 political map. So-called hostile states are colored red. The suspicion surrounding Jade Helm 15 is fueled by the fact that a vast majority of Americans simply don't trust the government, a level of mistrust that has peaked under the Obama administration, driven by what many believe to be violations of the Constitution and civil liberties. This is what Americans understand war looks like, but Cheryl Chumley, author of Police State USA, says Jade Helm 15 is introducing a new type of warfare, the master of the human domain.
What's going to happen is the special operations soldiers are going to be dressed in civilian clothes, driving civilian vehicles, and they're going to be tasked with striking up rapports with the local citizens.
It's a new strategy to root out terrorists, since locals notice odd behavior first. In Jade Helm, citizens are part of the exercise.
Watch out, because that guy that strikes up a conversation with you at the local 7-Eleven, is he a Jade Helm 15 participant? You know, it's a psychological warfare that it kind of messes with your mind a little bit.
White House spokesman Josh Earnest says special forces moving about communities will wear armbands.
I feel confident in expressing to you, without having a lot of detailed knowledge of the particular exercise, is that the civil liberties and constitutional rights of American citizens will be in no way affected by this exercise.
Despite conspiracy theories, Congressman Gohmert isn't worried that the U.S. military is going to issue martial law, but he's not happy with the president.
When my own commander-in-chief, through his subordinates, is just fine with, for games purposes, declaring an enemy of two or more of your states, I've got a real problem with that. That is one of the most insensitive, there's outrageous things that a military commander could do.
Chumley urges Americans to always stay vigilant when it comes to the government.
What I love most about America is that our rights come from God, not government. And I think we need to hold fast to that principle, because once that's gone, then you just open the doors to more and more government encroachments.
Jennifer Wishon, CBN News.
They showed several states there, but I got a notice here from Fort Bragg, North Carolina, that says that Jade Helm will take place across seven states: Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, Utah, Mississippi, and Florida. and you think, oh my goodness, you know, they're gonna put armbands on. That's really gonna make us feel better. As a matter of fact, when you think of armbands, it makes me think about, do you remember who used to have armbands? Does that make them feel better? Take a look at this next image right here. That was what the kind of set people apart. And it's like, that's not an encouraging thing to put an armband on. It's a constitutional violation to use U.S. military against U.S. citizens unless there's martial law. Martial law means that the military is now over you. You have no more county commissioner, you have no more sheriff, no more chief of police, no more city council, no more congressperson, no more senator. It is the soldier that's over you during a time of martial law. Well, Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries heard from the Lord and said, the Lord told him in a dream, prophetic dream, that this is going to happen. It's coming to America. And you got to join us after this break because you're going to hear firsthand what the Lord is saying about martial law in America. Join us.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. Can employees have religious material in open view in the workplace? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I had a problem at work. I had a sign up on the wall that said, Jesus is Lord. While I was on vacation, they took them all down and said that I can't do that anymore because it's illegal. And I was just wondering what I can do because I don't want to stop working there. I just want to be able to display my First Amendment right.
Sometimes these employers will react because they think if they allow a religious sentiment to be kept up in the workplace that they're creating a hostile work environment. And that's simply not true. The fact that someone, a coworker, doesn't share your religious beliefs is not a basis upon which your religious beliefs are then censored. Now, the employer is given a lot of discretion. I mean, they could say, we only want work-related material up in an office. They have the right to do that. Let me refer you to ACLJ.org. Great information on our website and really should be very, very helpful to you at work and get those answers resolved for you.
For more information about your rights at the workplace, visit us on our website at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Welcome back. We're going to go right to this dream, this prophetic dream given to Rick Joyner by the Lord, and it looks like the time has arrived. Take a look at this.
And I am going to give you a prophetic perspective today that is about as fresh as any I've ever given. I was awakened with a dream last night that is one of the most startling I've ever had. But it was a very real warning, and I want to give you a warning right now. If you're one of those that need to have your ears tickled, that you don't want to hear anything negative or bad, turn this off right now. And I am not doing this as some kind of promotional thing to get you curious so that you'll watch the program. If you have trouble with fear and things like that, I need mature Christians to hear what I'm about to say. What I got so clear in a dream last night that I believe is pretty imminent for our country, the United States. And I'm going to try to share it just the way I received it. I'm not going to hold back anything because I don't think anything was held back to me last night. Now, but this is a scheme against our country, the United States. And what I saw in the dream, I first saw the most horrific gang I have ever seen. I mean, this was a demonized gang. I mean, this was diabolical. They were diabolical in their nature. I can't imagine demons being more diabolical than these people were. They were invading the Southwest United States. There were droves. It was coming like a plague. Now, I saw one of their attacks in great detail against a Texas ranch. It was a ranch I knew to be in Texas. Some things in dreams you just know. I knew the house, the family. This gang had herded up everybody there that was in the dozens of people, whether they were workers, family members, everybody. And I am not going to share the details of the dream after that. I hope to never share them. I don't want to share them with anyone. I don't want to remember them. They were so horrific. cruelty on this level, you know, I mean, I have done in-depth studies of the cruelty in the Middle Ages and things like that, but this was a whole new level of demonic cruelty. It wasn't just about killing people. It was about bringing as much absolute pain, terror, everything else you can before death. And everybody in the most cruel way was killed. And, you know, I just don't want to go into the details here. Those are not necessary. But I think it is necessary to understand we're dealing with something, there's no mercy. That is absolutely not an option with these people. Matter of fact, they were ranked in these gangs. And these gangs were like military gangs. They had military equipment. But their ranking was based, I think, gained by their cruelty and by their insatiable desire to be even more cruel in the way they killed people. And it was just the most diabolical thing I've ever seen. This is the only thing that's going to stop. But what I saw in this dream last night, and when I woke up, there were some very supernatural things still going on that I saw with my own eyes and ears. It was a very dramatic prophetic experience. But what I saw was this plague spreading, especially across our southeastern United States. It was spreading like a plague. Now, U.S. citizens were so outraged across the country. This was virtually across the U.S., every state, every city, every town. Even though most of this was centered in the southwestern U.S., American citizens became so outraged at their own government for letting this happen. There was a huge movement or uprising around the country against our federal government. There were many U.S. citizens who wanted to do to our government leaders what was being done to U.S. citizens on our southern border. It was so outright. What I'm saying is this madness came upon U.S. citizens too. And they wanted to be just as cruel. They wanted to catch them. They wanted to. This was such a national uprising, such a national outrage. There were states where all federal employees were fleeing, trying to get out of those states for fear of their lives. It was that bad. Now, it's hard for us to imagine anything like that happening in America. This kind of thing's happened in countries before. And we are the most foolish and naive of all if we don't think this can happen here. This will happen here if some things are not done very quickly. Okay, this is another thing that I saw. There was a major uprising. Almost every state in the Union almost immediately started rejecting federal authority over their state. It was so widespread, so total, federal government really couldn't do anything about it. It was chaos. It was leading to anarchy very quick. And now I saw militias popping up like mushrooms all over the country. Citizens were just saying, if our government's not going to protect us, we will protect ourselves. Now, I know many think of, and the militias have been portrayed as all white wing extremists. And listen, there are some out there that I think are as terrifying as some of the Islamic State terrorists are. These are not the kind of militias that I saw popping up, though. These were people, they weren't trying to take over the government, overthrow the government. In their mind, we had no more federal government. It was not doing its most basic job of defending our country. They had let this happen. They had opened the door wide, very foolishly. Everything was brought up from the past, like you know, Fast and Furious, all the crazy things our government had done. And almost quickly, there was an awakening around the country that our federal government is either crazy or our federal government is trying to do us in. And the federal government became looked upon as an enemy of the citizens of America. This happened so quickly because of the attacks and the level of cruelty that was witnessed by those who were pouring across our southern border. Now, these weren't all ISIS people. ISIS was involved. This was far more diabolical than ISIS. I mean, what I saw, just cutting off people's heads would have been merciful. This was something far beyond that. It was mixed with an unbelievable diabolical cruelty that was coming from every evil source you can think of. It was like the bowels of hell had been opened. I know we've discussed on this program before and the dreams and visions that have come before about the bowels of hell being opened and how the Lord was going to give us wisdom how to deal with it. Now, I think he gave me some wisdom last night about how to deal with this. And so what do we do? Now, I saw militias popping up like mushrooms. They were just everywhere. People were rising up and bonding together into groups to defend their neighborhoods, to defend their cities, towns, ranches, everything else. Now, sheriffs, I've got to search this out because I don't know all the legal details. But sheriffs, county sheriffs, have an incredible amount of authority, legal authority, even over federal agents who come into their county. And sheriffs are a key to defending our country if it gets to this point. Now, you know, most have a mentality, well, every militia is right-wing, extremist, whatever. Not true. And sheriffs that treat these militias that pop up like that, it's going to be counterproductive. Don't attack them. Don't threaten them. Try to work with them. Go meet with their leaders. See what you can do together. If you can do that, you will have positive influence. Because if you don't do that, we do have many right-wing extremist militia groups that are going to try to co-opt this whole movement. And the fear is going to be so palpable, they will do it if those who are not reasonable and balanced, and I believe have the authority that sheriffs have, don't preempt this. You know, as I was shown in 1987, I've talked about it many times, I wrote about it in the book I wrote then, The Harvest. They come in, you know, major swing to the left in the United States, but that the greatest danger was not the swing to the left, but that that caused an overreaction. And without wise leadership, we would go from an extreme shift to the left to overcorrecting and going too far to the right. And the biggest danger of all was going to the extreme right. Now, I'm a conservative. I am right wing. But I believe an eagle needs both a right wing and a left wing to fly. And there is something, but there was in this dream, and if I'd have had my political preferences and control of my own dreams, I would have probably said the left wing extremists are the real danger. But in my dream, I was shown, no, the greatest danger of all is going too far to the right, where fascism really takes over and a totalitarianism from the right-wing extremist comes in. I'm giving that warning again. We don't want to go too far that way. And under fear, under paranoia, when things like this happen, you're in danger of your life, you're going to follow the strong and, you know, not just the wise. And that's the tendency. And I think this has got to be preempted. I'm going to do something. I'm going to find out what can I do to communicate with every sheriff in every county in the country if I can, whatever we can do to help them prepare, develop lines of communication. And but these militias, if we get to that point, these militias that pop up all over are going to be what stops the plague of the terrorism that is flooding our country. These militias will deal with it. Now, I don't know anything in the natural. I have no natural knowledge of this. But I believe there's already probably some movements in doing that, especially along our Southwest, because they're the ones who feel the most vulnerable of all right now because of what's happening on the border. They don't know who's crossing their own land, who's going right by their houses at night, and there are some really terrible characters that are coming into our country right now through that unbelievable sieve that is our southern border. Now, some of them are coming through the northern border. It's not just the southern border, but defending our borders is very basic to defending our nation. If you don't defend your borders, you are not defending your nation. That's the most basic defense of a nation. And our government has just thrown open the doors to whoever. They seem to be in cahoots with bringing people in. I also put out a warning, you know, last year about martial law coming to America. And I saw that in 1987. I saw that as clear as anything. Again, and I believe all these things we see like that can be avoided if we hear the warnings. But I'd say right now, I don't see any evidence of those who need to hear these warnings and turn from the direction they're going, hearing them and turning. So I think these are unfolding. And what I saw when I saw martial law come into America was military law. I saw it being an answer. And I believe right now, if we're going to go that way, if our present leaders are not going to hear, not going to defend our country, not defend our borders, and open the door to the kind of terrible things I saw, then, you know, martial law is going to seem like a reprieve. And the real key is who the marshal is. We need to start praying now, if this is going to happen, that the Lord have the right marshal with wisdom, with a love for freedom. You know, I would hope a absolute commitment to our Constitution. And you say, well, how could anyone who takes over the country under martial law have a love for our Constitution? In extreme crisis, sometimes you have to do extreme things. That doesn't mean they can't move us back towards that. Bring order, bring control, bring the defense that we need in our country and the protection of our citizens that are needed. And then bring us back to the republic and restore the republic that we're called to be. That's my prayer. I believe that can happen. I believe all of the things we've done to undermine our Constitution can be corrected and changed. So, but I'm praying right now, whoever the marshal is, please give him great wisdom, resolve, courage, everything else needed for these times. But even better than that, it would be to pray for our present leaders to wake up.
All I can think of is John Kilpatrick, Pastor John Kilpatrick in Alabama, Daphne, Alabama, giving that urgent warning. As a matter of fact, watch this.
Here's what the Holy Spirit said. He said, I have many ministers, and they are speaking on my behalf. But he said, what's missing is the urgency of their voice. These mega churches are really cognizant not to offend people. And they're really careful when they get up and preach to people that everybody leaves out there feeling really good. Preachers refuse to preach on the coming of Jesus Christ. Where's the urgency? I have never seen America in the place where we are right now. If you think that all the persecution is going to remain in Iraq against the Christians, you better think again. It's already coming into this country right now. If we don't tell people what they need to hear, God's going to hold us accountable and their blood will be on our hands. Whenever we preach, we've got to preach with an urgency in our voice that we need to be right with God if anything should happen to us. There's things right now in motion that may change our nation almost overnight. And for me to stand here and act like everything's all right, I can't do that. The politicians in Washington may can do that and lead you to believe that everything's going to be okay. But in the house of God, there's got to arise a siren that says, blast, 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 attention, attention, attention. Things are changing and they're changing quickly. We've got to have preachers in the pulpit that will say, watch out! Warning! Warning! Red light! Warning! People know something's going on in the Middle East. They know something's going on in Iraq, in Iran, in Damascus. They know about Iran. And people that's not even scripturally literate are trying to answer these things, and they're missing in a million miles. And God's saying to the preachers, get up and tell them. It's time to talk about what God's doing. People are seeking the Lord. People are seeking Christ. And if they don't find him in the church, where are they going to find him? I have a question. Where is the urgency?
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Listen, it is so important. You've got to learn God's voice. You've got to be able to hear his voice and obey him. We call that abiding. We talk about it all the time. There's a reason why, because what's about to happen, your only hope and your only chance of survival is that you know God and survive in the context of living through this in a way that you're free, is to know God, to abide with God, to hear his voice and obey it. As a matter of fact, even Rick's talking about it right now. Listen up.
Things coming out we really need to pay attention to and get ready. But the simplicity of devotion to Christ is absolutely essential. The simplicity. And our response, we need to hear his word. We need to get to know his voice better, be absolutely resolved to know his voice better, and we need to get better at obeying his voice. Then we'll be on the rock. It doesn't matter what storms come, we're on the rock.
Well, that's so very, very important because, listen, God loves, if you'll study God, if you'll study his word, you'll understand he always rescues his people. He always has a plan to bring us out. You have to listen to his plan. You have to know him. You have to understand how to hear his voice. Yeah. And we even have on VFN TV where you can actually, you know, listen how to hear the voice of God. But listen, right now, you need to begin to abide with God, just like Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries is saying. And if you don't have a plan, we have a plan for you, a simple plan. It needs to be simple. It doesn't need to be tied into technology. And it's at iabide.org. We have a free plan for you. Go request your plan today at iabide.org. Oh, my goodness. Listen, man, what the Lord is doing. If you missed, and you've got to catch it in regards to Ezekiel 38 and 39, make sure you get a chance to go and listen to it. You can go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast. I'd like to give a big shout out to all of our podcast listeners that are out there because that's kind of how we are today. Everybody's so mobile. Things are moving so quickly. You need to listen to it when you need to listen to it, mm-hmm. and you need to listen to what you need to listen to when you're listening to it. And you can do that by downloading our podcast. Mm-hmm. Just go to vfntv.com, mm-hmm. click on the podcast, and you get whatever format that you need. What happens, it just gets downloaded into your stuff somehow, and you can mm-hmm. play it like you play a record. No, a CD. I'm sorry, a CD.
What's a CD?
Download, I guess. And you can, and it's just really cool because then you have it. Think about this. You remember all the years that, yeah, buy the tape. We're giving it to you. There it's you yours. Yes. Have it freely.
Free.
You know, freely, the Lord's given it to us. We give it to you. Go to VFNTV.com and download the podcast today. Your future may depend upon it.
Welcome back to VFN-TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. You know, this is that moment. We need to stay alert. A quick thing, thinking about martial law. Martial law means that the military is now the one that's in charge.
Hmm.
Remember that the military is made up of our sons and daughters and mothers and fathers. They are adversaries in local law enforcement as our adversary. They're just our neighbors. But who's over, you know, you follow direct orders. We had a program on, and we'll make it related to you on the VFN Torch to this segment. You go to the VFNTV.com. They did an experiment about why did the soldiers inside of Germany follow orders? What's inside of a person that says, and how many people today, that profess to be Christians are doing and saying and partner with ungodly things, but they're saying, you know, I'm just following orders. I'm just following orders, mm-hmm. right? But, you know, the orders we're supposed to follow is God's orders.
That's right.
And sometimes if they conflict with each other, that we do not follow the order that conflicts with God. Like, if the order says bow down to this image, like Nebuchadnezzar said, we'd have to say what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, which is said, I can't do this thing. But I can't sweep. I can do something else, but I can't bow down to this.
Can't do that.
And so, you know, in that, so if martial law was to kick in, and you're looking at what Rick Joyner's saying is, he says it is, based on what the Lord's showing him, it is. It could be a bad thing. It could be a good thing. All depends who the marshal is. But, you know, knowing how things are designed, we need each other, your neighbors. You need to build relationships. We had a whole segment on that. But anyway, the segment that they did, that we did previous on a previous program, was an experiment they did about how much would somebody follow. I forget what the name of the experiment is, but we'll have it for you. But they put one person in one room who would flip levers, progressively moving up to like from 1 to 21. And that gave people levels of shock. And the other person was in the other room. They would receive the shock. And this person who had the ability to cause pain to the other person, who couldn't see the other person, would ask a question, and they would do it over the speaker system. If they got it wrong, the person who was issuing and supposed to be following orders, they said, well, they got it wrong, flip lever one. And level one would give them some specific measure of pain. But two would be worse, three would be worse than that, all the way just kept going and going and going.
It's called the Milgram Obedience Study.
Yes, Milgram Obedience Study. And we have that for you on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. But what happens is most people followed orders because they had somebody in a white lab coat who wasn't even a scientist, wasn't even a doctor.
No.
With some, you know, they looked official. They had a clipboard, and they're going like, put the person on the train. Put the person in the oven.
Yeah.
Run the person out of their house. Break the crystal glass in front of the store. Mm. I mean, that's the kind of things that I'm just kind of merging some history here. But they were saying, you know, electrocute this person that you don't even know if they get the question wrong. And they gave them. They shocked them.
And they could hear them scream. They could hear them scream.
Yeah, and they actually had a recorded, you know, it wasn't really somebody shocking, but they didn't know that. So the scream would just get worse and worse. And eventually, John, they couldn't even hear anybody anymore.
Mm.
They didn't even know they killed the person or not. And they asked a question. They got no answer back. And they went ahead and pushed the next lever up.
Wow.
And understand there's something inside of every one of us that wants to just do what we're being told to do. But we have to ask the question, is this what God wants us to do? Is this what we cannot disobey God? If somebody says, you know, bow down or hurt somebody or harm someone, they stood on the streets where the sidewalks and people are coming at them. And you have men and women all mixed together, and they had a man just standing there. And he would say, women this side, men that side. I mean, everybody just automatically just did whatever this guy said on the sidewalk because he looked official.
Right.
Well, you're going to see some things take place, some things happen. You know, they're coming close. You got to know on whom you're following. You got to abide with the Lord. You got to hear his voice. And there's a lot of, you know, all of our scabs, all of our sores that we have not sought healing in our country, in our nation about, are getting picked at and getting, you know, and we need to get healing for it. And that's what we've been talking about. But it has to be, healing begins with somebody saying that, you know, I hurt you. You know, this is you're not crazy in what you're saying.
T.D. Jakes actually is talking about that.
Yeah.
And he's talking about the importance of being able to have this conversation with sound and sane and reasonable people.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, let's watch him right now.
I want to ask you about race relations in America, which you've been vocal about in the past. You know, it's a very hot button issue today, particularly in the wake of so much civil unrest stemming from fatal encounters with, you know, white police officers and African American males. I guess my first question is, do you ever get profiled, Bishop?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I was born and raised in this country, and as a minority in this country, very few of us have lived our lives, especially as long as I've lived, and not been profiled in some way. But yes. But I'm unique because I grew up during the Civil Rights Movement. So I grew up when we had to use third water fountains and third bathrooms and all of that. And so I remember my father having to be served at the back of the restaurant and us having to eat in the car and couldn't get out. It really wasn't that long ago.
Yes.
Today, we don't have that as overt racism as if we have covert racism. Okay. We have it in subtle ways. And some of it isn't just racism. Sometimes it is antiquated systems that that skew themselves unfavorably for minorities, and sometimes even unintentionally so. And that's why I think it's very important that we have these conversations amongst reasoned people. Because if reasoned people are so busy being politically correct that we can't speak, then unreasonable people start setting buildings on fire and killing people. And I think that is I think they're forcing us to have a conversation that we traditionally are too polite to have.
Right, that's so true. In a recent op-ed for the Huffington Post, you called on the church to act as somewhat of a unifier in order to achieve what you said is a pluralistic society. You wrote, "The church with a capital C must embody the very definition of unity and end the racial, doctrinal, gender, and ideological feuds." Is this a realistic expectation, particularly when you consider the lack of multiracial congregations around the country?
First, I think we have our own house to clean before we clean anybody else's house. And when we started Reconciled Church with Bishop Harry Jackson and James Robinson, we came together, we started bringing thought leaders from every stream of faith, Christian faith, that we could. And we had to admit that the 11 o'clock hour is still far too segregated. And because it is, our ideas, anytime you don't worship with, work with, interact with diverse people, your ideas about things can become skewed. When you read the books that you wrote, then your truth is skewed by your own opinion. And so it is incumbent upon us to fulfill the prayer of Jesus Christ that we might be one. And once we master that, then to help the world to have the conversations that it needs to have. I think that the church is a critical element in the restoration of America, not only in preaching the gospel, which we must do, but also holding America accountable to its highest and best ideals and best practices as it relates to becoming a voice for those who are voiceless.
I like that. Very wise. You're someone who's very accomplished in your own right. You've written dozens of best-selling books, produced a number of notable films. Your Potter's House Ministries continues to reach millions of people around the world. You know, you've been married to a beautiful wife, Sarita, for 34 years. You've got five grown children. What is your greatest accomplishment?
Wow. The things that are most dear to me are the things that are most personal to me. It is not the outward accolades and success of men, because I find that to be so fickle. But there are moments I've had with my children and watching them grow. It is the fact that our relationship has survived and flourished for 34 years between my wife and I. It is the fact that I took care of my mother till she died, who died of Alzheimer's, and I got to be a good son. I'm much more concerned about being a good person than I am about being a good preacher. And people who know me as a person, for them to say you did good, that to me is my greatest accomplishment.
That's so important, and I feel the same way. We're going to break and come back and talk more about this, but we're being forced to have a conversation. But the thing about it is, it's actually nothing better than to have this conversation, because what comes with this conversation, talking about the church, not the world or anybody,
right?
What comes in this conversation, we've been trying to have it for quite some time, getting educated on it, is once we get through the conversation, we have healing, and our Father, our one Father, will be pleased that all of us are getting along. It's so important to understand that, for example, if you see President Barack Obama as anything other than a man, then we got to do some things.
There's a problem.
You got some issues there. If you're defining him by his ethnicity, if you're defining him by anything in regards to himself, he's a human being. Whereas policies are good or bad, you got to separate the context of that. And I believe what T.D. Jakes is saying is the church has to have that conversation, because things have been done in the name of Christ, in the name of the church, that had nothing to do with it, nothing to do with Christ at all. And we have to have that conversation. More we get back from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Christians is under attack by ISIS, being told to convert to Islam or die. The Islamic State posting the cold-blooded execution of 21 Christians in Libya earlier last month. Killing and wiping out entire religious communities, and I mean that have been around for, in the Christian communities since the beginning of Christendom.
This is an organization which controls one contiguous piece of land larger than the United Kingdom between Iraq and Syria. And now they, in effect, we're learning, control Libya, the whole northeast of Nigeria, and basically all of Somalia, and it's just getting worse and worse and worse.
This is what the Lord says. He says, when I'll put a watchman on the wall, and the watchman on the wall is somebody who can see a great distance, and people inside the walled area can't see what the watchman can see. You can call those people prophetic, but God will actually reveal some things to people, and he's revealing across the land that there's a storm coming against our nation. And then God will articulate why the storm is coming. He will also articulate that, what the storm will do, and he will articulate what will happen. He articulates what will happen to the watchman if he doesn't say something, and he will also articulate to the individual who doesn't respond to the watchman. I believe that's Ezekiel 17, the book of Ezekiel chapter 17, when he talks about it, and this is where I'm seeing. This is what I'm seeing, so I can't tell you. I mean, you're seeing what other people are seeing. We're making it all available to you. This is an American, this is a church issue, not American issue. There's a church, the chicken or the egg, which one comes first? The Christians came first, and then later on, people begin to take advantage of this land, and next thing you know, through all of that, you know, a Christian nation was born with, all of our rights come from God, but that came through a lot of different, you know, calamities, but originally you had the pilgrims coming over to be right. And they were just looking for a place to worship because they were getting imprisoned, robbed, beheaded, everything for just worshiping God. And
Monument's a good movie that really shows the background.
Monumental.
Of this.
Oh,
Monumental.
My goodness.
Great
Very
movie.
Good.
Kirk Cameron explains this in detail.
Yeah, hopefully you can see it right here on your screen. Monumental. We have that available information on the torch for you as well. But the, and so notice that the Jade Helm states, because it goes all the way from Florida to California. So you're looking right here at this image. You know, and it could vary, but this is basically at the time of this program we're telling you. And if you think about what June is, the last shot from the Civil War was fired in June. Mm. That the Civil War, just so you know this, you might not know this, a lot of people don't know this because this young generation doesn't know it, but America, brother was fighting brother inside of America over people wanting to enslave a brother. Or not to enslave a brother. And the president was the one that is on your penny and your nickel.
Penny.
And the penny, I know. And your $5 bill, man. $5 bill. And President Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln. And he was president during the time of that Civil War. And they didn't know whether America would survive or not. And he was wanting to rid America of the pestilence of slavery. It was evil. It is evil. And in the context of that, you had the southern states fighting for to continue slavery. And it was based on money. They were making money on the backs of human beings that they weren't paying, that they were abusing. So when you hear anything about transference of wealth, I mean, this is what Lincoln said. Lincoln said, if we had to fight till every dime is spent to balance the books of the free labor that was done to get us to this point. And if every drop of blood has to continue to be spilt until every drop of blood that was taken unrighteously, basically from the slaves, who were people who were slaves, he says that's what it has to be, the price to be able to end this war. And he's wanting it to end, but if it doesn't, the book still ain't balanced yet.
That's right.
And so from a Christian viewpoint, you know, there should be no hatred in your heart towards any being, any human being. We're supposed to win the nations. And when you see historically a nation enslaved a citizen, a human being, then you are automatically, if you're following Jesus, you and reading the Word of God and follow, you know that is evil. That is not of God. God does not enslave people. As a matter of fact, he'll love you as you're walking right straight to hell. He's not going to control that aspect of you. But what's interesting, John, is that martial law is potentially prophetically, you know, happening.
Coming,
according to Rick Joyner. That's military in charge. They're spreading the military out between June and September.
What does exactly martial law mean for those that may not know? What, give us a scenario on what that
It means
that
the military
like.
Is totally in charge. You don't have city councilmen, county commissioners, sheriffs, city councils, Congress, Senate, governors, all that kind of stuff's over with.
Curfews.
Yeah, I mean, there's military's in control. If you've ever been in the military, I used to say, you know, military is a communistic organization protecting a democratic nation. Because I was in, I remember, they said, you didn't have any rights, you know, as it seemed like, and they just tell you what to do. And then you have to, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but this is the interesting thing, because we've got to go, it's about to end. This program's about to end, I want to pray with you. But notice that it's all the way across the South, and Abraham Lincoln gave the South every opportunity to humble themselves and say, we were wrong. It was the love of money, and this is evil. Slavery's evil, and we should have never oppressed another human being for our own financial gain. And we need to make this right. There needs to be, you know, the what they call that at the particular time. But anyway, but they didn't. It was almost just forced issue because they had the opportunity. They didn't. More bloodshed happened, and finally, they just surrendered. You know, after the 13th Amendment was signed, which was, you know, a couple months. It was signed January the 13th. Of 1960 or 1868, I believe, and 65. I don't know if the date's right, but it took a couple more months before they would end the Civil War, and it had to be ratified by the states. But it got, and just so you know, the 13th Amendment says that your fellow citizens, nobody can be enslaved by another one. It just can't be. That had to be written in the Constitution on the 13th, after the 12th, after the 11th, after the 10th. And so this is a real issue. The thing is, where was the church in all this? What was being preached from the pulpits? And the thing is, so what was the church and what wasn't the church? We found out in Germany, there's a lot of people proclaiming to be Christians in the church, Hitler being one of them. That wasn't God, but there was a true church here. And I just want to pray for you right now. I want to pray protection over you. You can sign up for our newsletter right now. It's called The Torch. And we have a free gift for you called Prudent Preparation. You need to prepare for what's coming ahead. Some difficult days are coming, but understand this. I believe we're going to have the conversation. I believe the greatest days are ahead and revival is coming. Father God, Lord, I thank you, Father God, that you have shown us and we are putting it out there, Father God, because people are going to respond. Touch their hearts, touch their minds, touch their memories, that they can just remember that you're a good God, Lord. And all we have to do is begin to say, we'll have the conversation, even if you're forcing us to have the conversation, God, that we will have the conversation. We will talk about whatever you want to talk about so we can get through this, that repentance can come. Even like David to the Gibeonites, what does it take for you to bless the inheritance of God and all of a sudden the sudden release over this land? Lord, we thank you. We have great hope in you. We turn our hearts and our hopes and everything towards you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.
We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
You know, when you think about the church, you know, and what the enemy has done, the mindset, the vocabulary, the first thing that God started doing with us is to recapture the vocabulary again of what God is actually saying. I mean, you can really mess things up by changing the meaning of words. You know, you can just change the meaning of it, and all of a sudden you've got things going in a different direction. And so we had to rediscover, you know, what is the church? And we found out that the church is not a building. You know, we like buildings. I got a couple of good friends that are buildings, you know, but the whole thing is that the church is people. You know, we're the building of God, that know ye not that Christ dwells in you. The hope of glory is inside of you. All these wonderful things that we talk about. But understanding this is that, you know, so when you begin to be the church and you're abiding with God and you're hearing him and you're operating in family, you know, you have brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers and the Lord and all this wonderful stuff. And it's just fun. You know, you just look for a time to go there, but you still have, you know, things you're dealing with. You're still in the same storm everybody else is in. You're still in the same nation. You're still in the same workplace. You know, so you're having these pains and these struggles you're going through, and it's difficult, but yet it's encouraging that we have this. But, you know, John, I could only imagine how hard it is for somebody right now. If you're listening to us today and you don't have that relationship, I mean, you love Jesus, you know, you're born again, but you're in this whole, I don't know, the best way I can describe it is tradition, where, you know, men's philosophies and concepts and programs, but you're not in family. I mean, you can call things family. I mean, so many people call things family, but you know what family is. You don't have to call it family. It just is. And he's called us to be the family of God. And if you're going through all the same stuff that we're going through, but you're doing it outside of family, think about it. That's got to be horrific. I couldn't imagine. Well, actually, I could, because I remember what it was like when I was going through that without having what God has done with us today in regards to family. Yeah, I mean, you might have had somebody that's friended you on Facebook, but, you know, just friending somebody does not mean that they're a friend. I mean, you think about it. If you had I know this, John. Remember when we went to help out with the hurricanes that happened in New Orleans?
Right.
And, you know, it was just horrific what happened, and still have scars today inside of our heart for what happened. It was so bad, couldn't fix it. And the crux of it really was in Waveland, that was flattened, and then the waters, you know, busted in New Orleans and flooded. But, you know, the church didn't know each other, and they were scattered all over the place, and they couldn't find the church because there was no authentic family-type burdened relationship. So other parts of the church who didn't know the parts of the church come in and start helping everybody. But when we go back there, you remember when Pat and I had went back there, the Lord sent us back to New Orleans, and we were talking to Leo DeJesus and Sandy, awesome man and woman of God. And Leo, if you're listening today, Sandy, if you're listening today, we love you. You guys are so encouraging to us. And he has this wonderful upper room in his house that overlooks the Mississippi, looking right on the city of New Orleans. It's the city he's in is Gretna. He's in Gretna, overlooking the Mississippi. And he said that, but the pastors left the church. They just left. The shepherds, they left, you know. And Jesus says that's a hireling. It's a hard thing. But I have empathy, though, for a leader of a traditional situation, because, you know, it goes both ways. You know, they don't have a relationship with you. You don't have a relationship with them. And the thing about family is you both have to invest.
That's right.
You know, but it's hard to do in that kind of setting. Well, I encourage you, if you haven't even thought about, you know, just walking out what God says in his word, that it's not foreign. It really is true. It's happening at the Vine Fellowship Network. It's actually happening. You can go to VFNfamily.org and find out more about it.